Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's my great pleasure and honor to fellowship with you. But you need to listen carefully because my accent, English accent, tribal accent, it's different, you know. Accent. And, you know, when first time I came here in the U.S., my friend, he was telling me a joke. I said, you know, there is a joke from Manila, from the Philippines, going to San Francisco. She, you know, in the middle of the flight, the captain announced to all passengers in business class, your parachutes is under your seats. But to all passengers in economy class, repeat after me, Our Father, I commit my spirit unto you. What? I visited in different places here in America. Sometimes I work in Oklahoma. I try to work a thrift store, and also in California I work, you know, backyard, cleaning the house. As a missionary, we are ready to, you know, to work and preach the good news. But before that, we will pray. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us this morning. Thank you that you put your word into my mouth, that I may speak forth the truth of your word, and rightly divide the incorruptible, indestructible, living word. Thank you that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened so that we may comprehend the revelation of your word. Thank you for being so good to us this morning, and we commit everything to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We are familiar about missions, you know. We know that missions is the heartbeat of God. Our God is a God of missions. In fact, He Himself is a missionary God. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is God, but He came. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Yeah, He is a missionary. That's why when we read the scripture, a lot of scripture, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, it is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God that none should perish, but that He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And some scripture says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 10, and this is the destiny of mankind, a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Yes, hundreds of years, Christians have been believing and anticipating the return of Jesus. But until now, Jesus, He did not return. The question, why is that so? Because there are still nations, tribes, and peoples without knowledge of the one true God who cannot qualify in Revelation 9 to 10. The disciple asked Jesus, Lord, what is the sign of your coming Jesus answered, it's very plain. In Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the nations of the world. Then the end will come. The question, who are these nations, tribes, and peoples? We know that whenever the Bible mentions the word nations, it does not refer to countries of geographical or political boundaries. The Greek word is ethnos, meaning people or an ethnic group which shares a unique language, culture, and socioeconomic status of its own. From the biblical point of view, missions is sharing the gospel to a people group other than one's own. This is the specialized type of evangelism. Missiologists have come up with different terminology on mission and evangelism to differentiate the activities that we do for the expansion of God's kingdom. Number one, evangelism. Evangelism, this is sharing with those from your own culture or your own people group. If a Filipino will come to U.S. and minister only to the Filipino congregation, that he is doing evangelism. If American will preach only for the Americans, that's evangelism. But I noticed this morning this church is a missionary church because you minister different kind of race. Not all Americans, there is Burmese, Mexican. Number two, that's one, evangelism. But number two is missions. This is evangelizing cross-culturally. When you say mission, as a Filipino, we are the product of missionaries, the American missionaries, went to the Philippines, preached the gospel. And now there are a lot of Christians, pastors, ministers, because there's people who went. Meaning to say cross-culturally, meaning different. If you, just like Americans, Filipinos, different language, different culture, that's mission. Number three, they call that, we call that regular missions. What is the regular missions? Regular missions is, this is ministering among nations or cross-culturally which have already been reached or where a church is already established. Like for example, if a Filipino ministers transfer to Singapore, which is a rich nation, then he is doing regular missions. Meaning to say rich, there are many people who preach, there were church already established. Yeah. Number four is frontier missions. This means going cross-culturally and working in an unreached people group. The word pioneering can also be applied in this case. Like, for example, if you go to the area, there's no church, there's no missionary, zero. And you started to minister to them, preach to them, that's frontier missions. And when I know that God called me to the missions to preach in different, to the unreached people group. At age of 16, I started preaching, you know, the word of God, because my father, he was converted into Christianity by the missionary, American missionary. We called Nanay Thompson family in southern part of the Philippines. 1962. But when my father, after, you know, studied Bible school, 1965, he went to different tribal people groups in the Philippines to preach, you know, the gospel. And there are also, we called transplanted pastors or workers. They are actually pastors or workers who have moved to foreign country but are still working with Christians from their own culture. For example, a Filipino transplanted here in America and pastoring a Filipino congregation. We don't call as a missionary, they are transplanted workers or pastors because they did not the same culture and the same people. Yeah. Missions, sharing the gospel cross-culturally. And we know, at age of 16, I love to preach. Before, I don't know how to make an outline because I have not been in seminary, but I love to preach only the word. I have no idea about the books, verses. But praise God, many people accept Jesus. Because preaching can never be a profession. It must always be a passion. But when I asked the Lord at age of 22, Lord, I said, Lord, what is my calling? Because we can do everything for God's glory, but I want to know for sure what God called me to do. I prayed, Lord. Because just like, for example, as a father, you will, you know, said to your, or command to your son, please prepare my clothes. But your son doing other thing, he cleaned house, but his motive is right to please for his father. And he washed dishes, his heart for his father. He, you know, he washed the cars, his heart for his father. There's no problem. It's not wrong. But the father said to him, prepare my clothes. Maybe his father, you are right. You do this for me. But I did not tell you to do that. I tell you to do these things. Yeah, that's why I can preach. I can make many ministries. But I need to share, Lord, what is my calling? Then the Lord, since 1999, first time, when I visited the place, the sea dwellers, people, we called Bajau, Luke and Avon, they visited that place. In the Philippines. But 1999, when I went to their community, I saw the kids, you know, swam under their stilt houses or, yeah, the small bamboo houses in the water. When I saw the kids, I cried a lot. When I cried, what happened? What happened to me? Then I prayed, Lord, if you called me to this tribe, I am willing to live with them. But the Lord, you know, it's clear. That's why I decided to leave these people in the water. That's why I wrote it down, June 6, 1999. Bajau tribe is the poorest ethnic group, having a mixed religion of Muslim and animism. Talking of the gospel, it is one of unreached people group in the Philippines. Their main livelihood is fishing, and majority of them don't have education. Their children are used to walk along the streets and beg money from the people. Not just on the streets, even on the ports where there is a ship which is about to dock, we can see them begging money from the passengers. And most of them survived through this livelihood. That's the bajia, you know. But after 1999, 2000, 2001, I lived with them, eat with them, and discipled them. Praise the Lord, to God be the glory. Now, there was a bajia pastor who pastoring his own tribe in that area. Since 2003, he is now, that community is not so big, only 2,000 people live in their tribe. I really thank the Lord for that, you know. I thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for using me for your glory. Since that time, I started to plant different tribal planted churches. The same, you know, strategy to live with them, eat with them, and disciple them. Because the tribal people, they don't have clock time. You cannot see them. You cannot say, tomorrow we have a meeting, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In the jungle, there is no time. There's no clock. If you want to disciple them, you need to go with them. Going out fishing, if they are fishermen, if they went out hunting wild pigs, you can go with them, because there's no time in that people. And you cannot read, you know, the Bible says, they don't know what's the Bible. When you preach them about the God, Jesus, they don't care, because they have many gods. They worship in the spirits in the water, spirits in the rocks, spirits in the forest, in the air. They have many gods. When you introduce your God, for them, so much gods. You have many gods. That's why you need to live with them, so that you can understand and, you know, explain the gospel to them. Simply, you need to tell the story. You don't need to read the Bible. You just simply the story. The story about Jesus. I prayed, Lord, how can I preach your message to this illiterate or this primitive people? God gave me wisdom how to preach. First time when I went to these people, I told them, you know, as a tribal, we worship our gods. We call that diwata. We worship our diwata in the trees, in the rocks, in the rivers. They are our gods. For them, first time, oh, it's a respect. They will not, you know, harm you, because you said our God, our gods. I did not say your God. I said, meaning to say, including me. Oh. But when I said, but you know, our gods, they worship one true God. That's new for them. Oh. Our God Diwata worshiping another God. Kuya, his name in Bajau, I use Isa Almasi. That's Arabic. We use Arabic because they are mixed. Some of their words are Arabic. Isa Almasi. Isa means Jesus. Almasi means Christ. I introduce, his name is Isa Almasi. For them, they asked, oh, we worship the gods, and now our gods worship another god. That's anew. Then I started to introduce. His name is Jesus. Some tribal people, I use Jesus. Some tribal people, I use Yeshua, Hebrew name of Jesus. I introduce little by little. And it is, you know, effective. Effective for this when you share this kind of people. But you need to go with them. You need to go with them. Okay. Now, some strategies in missions, it's very effective. Medical services. One of the most effective entry strategies, especially in the poor countries, is through medical missions. These are where sickness are rampant due to malnutrition, poor living conditions, and poor health and hygiene practices. Some missionaries use that. Medical services. Some of them livelihood projects to the community. Some is community development, the help, water supply to the community. But some strategy in mission, tent making, just like Paul. Tent making is proving to be one of the most excellent ways by which a Christian can penetrate the unreached, as exemplified by the Apostle Paul. What is tent making here? The people who are, nurses, teachers, construction workers, domestic helpers, and the like can continue with their secular work in other countries while doing cross-cultural evangelism on the job during their free hours. That's tent making. Some of them literacy program. Statistics shows that there are over 80 million illiterate adults in the world today. One half of the world's women and one third of the world's men are illiterate. According to Dr. Campbell Morgan, the history of missions shows that the success or failure of missions has always been dependent on whether those brought to Christ had the scriptures in their own language or not. You know, in the Philippines, we have, it's a very effective southern part, the Tibuli tribe, that literacy program. Why? Because the missionary, American missionary, went to that tribe, and then what they are doing, in 1962, there was only one congregation with 40 believers. But as the missionaries worked on the translation of the scriptures, book by book, and at the same time began the literacy program, the number of the congregation grew to 13 in 1972, with 520 believers. By 1979, the congregation increased to 52, with 3,900 believers. But as the scriptures were completed and as more tribesmen became more literate, in 1991, there are already 170 congregations with 12,750 believers. If a lot of men and women are not able to read, they would not be able to read the Bible, even if it has been translated in their own languages. It's a very big help. That's that strategy. Number six is friendship evangelism. That's effective also. In evangelism, the souls in the forest, the souls in the remote area, the same souls that are here. We are not of us. We are not some of us called, God called us to go. But some of us, God called us to minister our people. Some are called to go, but all are called to pray and minister to his own people. Because in the sight of God, the same, the value. The souls in the jungle and the souls in the city, the rich people, whatever. But God, if you are here, it's your time to minister to the people outside. Just like before, the passion of evangelism. Even the people here, when you preach them, Jesus is not so important because maybe so much everything in here, in America, is everything are, even without God, we can survive. We have life. But still the passion. Even the people, they don't care the word of God. But let's pray, Lord, the Bible says, go. There's a question. Which part of the word go that we can't understand? Only two letters. G-O. Go means go. Yeah. Not meaning to say go to the uttermost part of the earth or go to your neighbor. Go to your classmates, your friends. Because to convert them is not our job. Our job, we will do our part, preaching the good news. Only the Holy Spirit can convert, only God. But we need to do our part. Preach to them, even the soldier, that's okay. People, I noticed because I went, this is my, I think, my 14 states. I ride a Greyhound bus to see the Mississippi, Tennessee, went to Arizona, many. But when I saw the people here, sometimes, yeah, we can show that. We are sad because Filipino is the product of the ministry of our early pastors, missionaries from the U.S. But now when you saw the people, God is not number one priority. Yeah, God is not number one priority. Always material things. To have big house, blood, cars, whatever. It's sad, but we need to pray. We need to pray, Lord, give us a passion to preach these people. Not like before, we are free to preach. Now, it's different. It's different here. But the Word of God, preach the gospel. Preach. He did not say, convert the people, bring to the church. No, he said, preach the gospel. Now, I'm almost done. And I really thank the Lord, even this is the first time you knew me. I thank you, Pastor Ron, for giving me a chance to share this wonderful people. And I really thank the Lord. Luke also helped me. The number seven strategies, signs and wonders. You know, sometimes here, because I told you a while ago, I said it, that because here everything is here. Sometimes the healing is not, because we have doctor, we have medicines, we have everything. But you know the people in the area, when they pray, when they ask God, they experience the divine healing. Still, now God is able and willing to heal. Sometimes the trust of the people, because we have everything, but to the jungle, to the area, they called, Lord, please help, Lord. And when you pray, God help them. I have made a lot of experience for deliverance and healing for the people. Even if you try here, because when we pray, Lord, heal him, Lord. But in your mind, first came to your mind is the pharmacist, because we have a lot of medicines. Yeah, we can use that. There's no problem. We can use that. But what I'm trying to say, until now, the Lord can heal. You know, sometimes there's a lot of causes of, you know, diseases, sickness. There's a says, if you want to walk in health, you need to walk in love. It's because harboring animosity, wrong feelings, will damage our physical body. Sometimes we have sickness not because of our balanced diet, but sometimes we have, you know, in our hearts. But if you release forgiveness, when you forgive, the sickness gone. Yeah? That's why in seven strategies, signs and wonders, when you try, when you go to the remote area, nothing. When you pray, even you, it's hard, but when you pray, the tribal people, the people, God, you know, God wants to prove that He is a healer. Yeah. Until now, our God did not change. This is my last about missions. Now there is a question, how can I involve in missions? I work. I cannot leave my work to go to other countries or other people. It's hard. If you have realized that you live not only for yourself, but for others also, and you are saved by grace, not only for yourself, and that you are not content, but you believe in your heart that you want to see the nations worship Jesus. Number one, you can pray. Some are called to go, but all are called to pray. Prayer is the most powerful and direct avenue for obedience to Great Commission. Number two, you can mobilize. There are people with the gift of rallying other people to go or do things. Such are called mobilizers. They have the effective to encourage others to rise, be equipped, and be released into missions. If you are called to be mobilizer, you can awaken the church or brethren to take serious part in missions. You can also give wake-up calls to churches who do not have any missions agenda. You can also provide missions awareness programs and even stir up people to give for missions. Number three, you can adapt. Adaptions here means that any church, congregation, or fellowship group makes a serious commitment to do all they can to reach, minister, take care of a particular unreached people group. Adapting churches takes the responsibility to be fully informed about that particular group, seriously and regularly praying for it. Oftentimes, the adapting church gets the real burden to visit or send short-term missionaries to be able to help in the actual needs of the group. In this case, the adapting church becomes financially burdened to help as well. There are also instances where churches provide training for the Christians there. Communication between the adapting party and the adapted group is constant and consistent. Number four, you can network. You may not have the burden to go. This means being involved in a new kind of partnering relationship with a focus on catalyzing, mobilizing, and multiplying resources through networks. This encourages cooperation among existing churches. Number five, you can give. You may not have the burden to go, but God can use you to send forth the workers through your faithful giving. The senders are not less important than the goers. Each has an equal responsibility only if the sender realizes the involvement and responsibility that God has entrusted to them. David in 1 Samuel 30:24 stressed the importance of support groups, which are essential as those who go into battle. Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 was ministered to by the Philippian brethren by supporting him and providing for his needs. We need to have targets for our giving. We should be aware of the different agencies that are in touch with missionaries, so we can ably support them. We need to ask God which particular ministry we have to be involved in. Is it frontier missions? Is it Bible translations? Is it medical missions? Is it mercy ministry? If our churches have workers who will be willing to go out to missions, to mission field, we need to encourage them by pledging our faithful support. Number six, the last part. You can go. Therefore go and make disciples, Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore go and make disciples all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is a command for every believer. And also we can read Romans 14:15. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We pray that these words of Jesus in the Great Commission will burn deep in our hearts. Let us not be content with just hearing these words. Let us do according to what God says in our hearts. Missionary is just like a military. We are the infantry. The church is artillery. We went to the field face to face to the enemy, but we need artillery to support, so that the camp of the enemies was, you know, destroyed. It's easy for the infantry. But if there's no support, if there's no artillery, God called us in different. There's pastors. We are not all missionaries. If you will go missionaries, who will fellowship this church? Who pastored the church? God called to the mission and the church also. We need the church. That's why I encourage every one of you to invite your friends, share with them the good news, the gospel, evangelism. If God called you to other parts, to other people doing missions, praise God for that. Thank you, and God bless us all. And I show these people, the cave dwellers. We minister in different, the sea dwellers, and also the people who live in the caves. Before, I don't believe that there's a kind of people until now just like that. I thought only we can found that in the books. But when I arrived 2011 to their community, it's real. Thank you, and God bless us all as we watch that. And I will, after the video.